Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Christ said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, the day or the hour of the time Christ is coming as a thief in the night." But now we have the whole Bible, and there's a lot of information like the exact time of the end of the world. It's always been there, but God has not allowed anybody until the last 20 years or so to really know when that is. And now God has given magnificent proof that show us absolutely that we have understood the timeline of history of the gospel accurately.
It's a pretty remarkable claim from Harold Camping. He concedes that Jesus told his disciples back then that no one knows the day or the hour of his return, but that does not exclude Harold Camping or anyone else willing to listen to his calculations, how he does the history, how he reads the passages, and how he does the math. He says that Jesus is coming back on a certain day. He knows when it is, and he's been warning people for some time now that the rapture, he believes a secret rapture of the church, not so secret now that he's let the secret out, is going to happen on May 21st, 2011, and that's only 2 days away. Joining us to talk about Harold Camping's prediction of the rapture, Gretchen Pasentino. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. She's a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Gretchen, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this fascinating subject. You know, I had plans for Saturday. As a matter of fact, our friends are coming over. We're having a Bible study together. We're going to be learning God's Word and increasing our faithfulness to Christ. And I don't believe the rapture is going to happen Saturday. I don't believe the end of the world is going to happen Saturday. I don't believe Harold Camping is going to be right on Saturday. But I do know that for those of us who love the Lord and for those of us who love the Lord's Word, any day, Saturday, May 21st, or any other day, is a good day for focusing on God's Word. Not Harold Camping's interpretation of it, but what God's Word really says.
I want your response to what we heard there in the open, and that was him basically saying, yes, Jesus says that no one knows the day or the hour, but that doesn't exclude us. We have the Bible. We have better information. We have all the history between now and then. And now, finally, in the last 20 years, we've been able to do the calculations that the earliest Christians were unable to do.
Well, Harold Camping does what a lot of false prophets do, and that is they focus on themselves, their generation, their understanding of the Bible, their relationship to God's promises for the future. Instead of focusing on our relationship with Christ and sharing that gospel with other people so that they can be saved too, they're all about me. I'm the only one who knows when the end's going to come, and you have to listen to me in order to know that. You know, when we talk about the end times or the final events that God has promised us, there are two ways to look at it. One is called general eschatology, from the Greek word meaning the last things, the study of the last things. General eschatology is, when is the end of the whole show? When does human history come to an end? When is God's redemptive plan finally fulfilled in his coming kingdom on this earth? The other is called personal eschatology, or what about my end? Where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Now, there's only one generation that's going to experience general eschatology, the end of the whole show. But every single human from Adam through you and me experiences personal eschatology. What's going to happen to me? What is my destiny? And the Bible makes it very clear that that personal eschatology is what we should be concerned about. Do I have a right relationship with God? Have I asked God to forgive me through Jesus Christ? Am I depending on Christ and his work on the cross in order to reconcile me with God? if I am, then it doesn't matter whether I'm part of the final generation that experiences general eschatology or not. I'm going to experience personal eschatology, that reunion with God that promises me everlasting life and a part in God's kingdom through what Christ has done for me. That's what really matters.
Who is Harold Camping? Just give us a brief introduction.
He is a self-taught Bible student. He's actually, he must be 90 years old. He was born in 1921, which is 2 years after my mother, and I'm not real good at, or 2 years before my mother, I'm not real good at math in my head, but my mother just celebrated her 88th birthday last week, so I guess that makes Harold Camping 90 years old. He has a degree in civil engineering. Electrical engineering. It has absolutely nothing to do with how to study the Bible or how to understand the Bible. And you know what's really interesting, Todd, is that the simple message of the gospel, God loves you, He has a plan for your life, He reconciles you to Himself in Jesus Christ, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That basic message is so easy, even a child can understand it. It's so easy that you can look throughout Scripture and see it over and over again, stated plainly and directly, stated in a story or an analogy or a parable. That basic story is very easy. But the Bible also has such great complexity of spiritual truth that you could spend your whole life studying the Bible and building your study on the shoulders of those from previous generations who have studied the Bible and still not come to the end of knowing God's Word. Harold Camping, unfortunately, did not receive a formal education in the Bible. He did not stand on the shoulders of those of previous generations who have studied Scripture. Instead, he took his own predilections in mathematics and in secret codes and devised his own way of understanding the Bible that nobody else has done before. Now, if the Bible is God's word for all people of all time, we ought to really watch out for somebody who says, I'm the only one who understands it.
He's made this prediction before, briefly. I think it was 1994. Not many people noticed, but what did he predict?
Yes, he previously prophesied or predicted that on September 16, 1994, the rapture would happen. All of the Christians would be removed from the earth. And in a several-month period after that, God would destroy the entire earth. And in fact, he also does not believe that humans maintain consciousness after death. He believes that only those who are saved will spend eternity with God in his kingdom. He believes everybody else will simply cease to exist. He's what we would call an annihilationist. That is saying there is no hell, there is no conscious punishment for unbelievers after death. When you die, you simply cease to exist. Now, he says he was a little bit off in comparing the Jewish feasts and adding up the number of lunar months and seconds. He has very, very complex math that he goes through. I can't even add up what my grocery bill is going to be in my head, much less follow, you know, Camping's numbers. But here's what he does. His focus is on numbers and on Jewish feast days and Jewish reckoning of a lunar calendar, rather than focusing on the truth of the gospel. God gave us the Jewish feasts, the Jewish holidays, and the Jewish way of reckoning time, not so that we can understand a complex code, but so that we can see God's gospel plan, his story of redemption, as it's worked out in a particular people at a particular time. He didn't give it to us as a code.
With about a minute or so before we take our break here, and we'll hear it a bit of Harold Camping's math on the other side of the break to get your response, Gretchen. One thing I noticed in his way of handling Scripture is he tends to daisy chain passages. He'll go from Mark chapter 7 to Ecclesiastes to an obscure passage in the Psalms. He'll jump forward, backward, Old, New Testament, stringing them together as though they were words in a sentence.
Yeah, he does not take the passage for what it says within its context. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the last things. He talks to his disciples about it. He talks about the temple that was there in front of them that God had used as a picture or a symbol of his throne, his dwelling place, the place for God's immediate presence. And Jesus says, no one knows when this earthly system will be over and the heavenly system will be instituted. But he says, here's what you can know. You can know if you are in right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And he assures his disciples that whether they are alive for that end times thing or not, they can be assured that God will be with them, God will love them, God will reconcile them to himself, no matter what generation they're in.
We're talking with Gretchen Pasantino about Harold Camping's prediction of the rapture on May 21st, 2011. That's only 2 days away. If you have a question or a comment, I invite it. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live. It's Thursday afternoon, May the 19th. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Now, when we come back, we're going to hear Harold Camping himself put together, not only through his use of Bible passages, but in particular through his use of numbers in history, what he thinks is definitive proof, positive proof, he said, provided by God himself, that the rapture of the church will take place Saturday, May the 21st, 2011, 2 days from now. He's expecting it. He's completely confident of it. He thinks he's reworked his old calculations that were not altogether accurate when he made his previous prediction of a rapture in 1994. Now he's got it down. He's done the math. He's checked his numbers. And he wants you to believe the rapture's coming in 2 days. We'll see if it adds up after this.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Did God really create the world in 6 24-hour days? And what difference does it make? The Issues Etc. book of the month for May is In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase In the Beginning, God, by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, In the Beginning, God.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
An update on the stem cell debate.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Scientists in Greece recently announced yet another milestone in research with adult stem cells. Patients with aggressive multiple sclerosis experienced significant improvement in their condition after undergoing chemotherapy and receiving a transplant of their own adult bone marrow stem cells. The harvesting of such adult stem cells does not involve the killing of human embryos. Pro-abortion advocates continue to assert that embryonic stem cell research is needed to find cures, yet it is only adult stem cell research which has so far provided any hope for cures.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Harold Camping's prediction that have a lot of people, well, a lot of people are laughing, a lot of people are scoffing, a lot of people are worried. A lot of people are thinking maybe he might be right. He's predicted the rapture on May 21st, 2011. That's only 2 days away. Gretchen Passantino's with us. Now, Gretchen, before we go on, we really need to hear from Harold Camping himself. He has a rather complex way of getting to May 21st, 2011, and he does it by calculating the number of days beginning with the death of Christ. Here he is. I'll get your response afterwards.
2 years ago, God began to show proof. I had developed the truth that Christ was crucified on April 1, 33 AD. That's the only date that will fit all of the biblical requirements. And I was also teaching that May 21, 2011 is the time when we get to the end, when the rapture is going to occur. Do you realize that if you calculate all the days, and you take the 1978 years from AD 33, April 1, to April 1 of 2011, you multiply 1978 times 365.242 days, and you get a number, and then you have to add 51 more days in order to get to May 21, and lo and behold, you get the answer of 722,500 days. But what's significant about that is that when you break that down to its important numbers, it is 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17.
Now, Gretchen, he goes on for another 5 minutes or so explaining the significance of those individual numbers. But how do you begin a response not only to his math, his history, but also to this way of reading Holy Scripture?
Well, first of all, I am no expert at math. You just ask my husband. If he asks me to do any math in my head, he knows whatever answer I come up with is wrong. So that's why I have a calculator. But secondly, the Bible is not meant to be understood numerically. It's meant to be understood in its historical, grammatical, linguistic, and theological context. And Camping has definitely demonstrated that he can't do that. What's even worse than his bad math and his bad interpretation of Scripture is that he is inviting mockery of Christianity and mockery of the Word of God. I have today's local Orange County Register newspaper, which comes here to us in Southern California. And there's an article in the Nation and the World section called Parties Planned After Rapture. And it's talking about various humanist and atheist organizations that are going to have parties on Saturday and Sunday to celebrate the disproof of Christianity. If the Bible says the end of the world or the rapture or whatever you want to call it is May 21st, and it doesn't happen, then that proves the Bible's wrong. God doesn't exist. Jesus didn't die for your sins. There is no such thing as God, and you just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so that's what they're going to do. However, the Scripture never gives us a date for the end of the world or for the rapture or for anything like that. What the Bible does do is give us the plan of salvation, and that plan is in Jesus Christ. It's available to all of us, whether we come 2,000 years before Christ's historical advent, like Abraham did, or 2,000 years after his advent, as we are now, or any place in between. Jesus came to die for our sins. That is the central feature of Scripture. It's not the rapture, it's not the end of the world, it's not the establishment of God's kingdom, it's the reconciliation of humanity with God through Jesus Christ. Harold Camping is getting people off on the wrong track. They're all focusing on, well, is the rapture going to be this day or that day or the other day? He was wrong when he predicted it in September 1994. He's wrong when he's predicting it now. And he is bringing disrepute on the Word of God and on the truth of the gospel so that Christians are now having to defend ourselves from the crazy date setting of Harold Camping rather than giving a positive presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So the way he's looking at the Bible is fundamentally wrong because he fails to see the center of Holy Scripture, namely, as you've repeated here, the saving work, the person and work of Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. He displaces that central message in favor of calculating the end of the world, in essence, kind of focusing on Christ's second coming to the detriment of his first one.
Yes, and you know, in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about signs of the end. And the things he brings up as signs are things that were already occurring in the world that the disciples lived in at that time. It doesn't mean that Jesus was wrong about the timing of the end of the world. He thought it was then, but it wasn't. It's that he was reassuring the disciples and you and me and every other believer of all times, anywhere in the world, that no matter what we're suffering, whether it's earthquakes or famines or wars or persecution or starvation or anything else, whatever we are suffering, God is with us, God will take us through it, and God has a better plan for us. Everlasting life is awaiting us. This is not the story. This is just the beginning of the story. The completion of the story is our redemption in Christ and our eternal life with God. So Jesus is not giving us the signs so that we can figure out when he's coming. He's giving us the signs so that we can know that whatever we go through, even the worst things at the end of time, God will still be with us and will still be keeping us close to him in redemption through Jesus Christ.
Now, he says that the numbers that he finds hidden within the numbers, namely 5, 10, and 17, have biblical significance. And this goes back to your comment before about biblical numerology. And he says it is telling the story of salvation. In fact, he says it's a story from the time of Christ where he made payments for your sins until you're completely saved. I tell you, I quote him, I tell you, I just about fell off my chair when I realized that he found in 5, 10, and 17, not just the story of Christ, but the, he says, the story of full salvation, which only comes when Christ returns.
Well, you know, he is completely disaffected from the Christian church. He believes that all denominations are wrong, and anyone who belongs to a church is disobeying God. He says he's not a pastor, and he doesn't have a church. He has radio stations, and he explains the Word of God because he's the only one who understands what all the numbers mean. One of the things we always need to watch out for as Christians is anyone who says, I'm the only one who has the truth, and all the churches are wrong. Jesus Christ himself established the churches through his closest disciples, and the churches are meant to bring the good news of the gospel to the whole world and to reassure us in our faith so that as we are sharing the truth of the Word of God with each other, we can see what it really means, not because of our own individual mysterious code-breaking abilities, but because of the truth that has been preserved throughout the church for 2,000 years.
Speak to that mentality, which seems to grip the date setters, not uniquely, but it seems to be a common feature of the date setters, that they found something that everyone else has missed. And that's, in essence, what Harold Camping says when he talks about his end times predictions. He says he has found what everyone else should have found had they been paying close enough attention. What is this mentality, I alone have discovered this truth?
I don't know that I can speak for Harold Camping or for anybody else, but I know for myself, when I was a brand new Christian in the late 1960s, it was in the middle of the Jesus movement. I was here in Southern California having a great time being a hippie and then being a Jesus freak. And I was very, very ignorant. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't know that much about what the Bible said or about the end times. But I went to a church service that Hal Lindsey was speaking at, and this was many years ago when his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, was just coming out. In fact, I don't think it was even out yet. And I heard him talk about how the end of the world was going to be any minute, and maybe that service that night on New Year's Eve would be the last church service before the rapture. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know that what he was saying wasn't really in the Bible. And I thought, wow, this is great. my generation is going to experience the end of the world. My generation is the generation God has chosen to bring about the completion of his story. I was completely oblivious to the fact that there were millions and millions of Christians all over the world for the last 2,000 years who had worshipped and served the true God in Jesus Christ. I was flattered that my generation was chosen. I mean, of course it was chosen. It was me. I ought to be the one to participate in that. I was so excited about it. And when it didn't happen, and when I went, took my brand new Bible, and I looked up in the concordance anti-aircraft missiles and Apache attack helicopters and the Red Chinese Army and all these other things that Hal Lindsey said was in the Bible. Wow, how could that be? And I couldn't find them. I took my Bible back to the bookstore and I said I wanted my money back because it didn't have a very good concordance. What I didn't understand at that time, what I've come to understand since, is that people like Harold Camping or Hal Lindsey or Tim LaHaye or other people who give the Bible a new story that's never been told before are appealing to people who want to believe that they're in the middle of the greatest story ever told. Well, I found out over my 40-some years of being a Christian that I'm not the important one in the story. Jesus Christ is the important one in the story. Jesus gave his life to redeem me to God. Jesus lived the life that I should have lived, but couldn't because of my sinfulness. Jesus died the death that I deserved because he loved me so much that he gave himself on my behalf to God to reconcile me to God. The important story is not me, it's not date setting, it's not the rapture. The important story is Jesus Christ and his death on our behalf. That's how we have everlasting life. Whether we're in the last generation or not is irrelevant. That we are in Christ and that we belong to God for all eternity, that's what's really relevant.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. We'll take a break, and we'll have 10 more minutes with her on the other side of that break, talking about Harold Camping's prediction of the rapture on May 21st, 2011. When we come back, more on the date setting and on the real hope of Christ's return.
What will you say on Judgment Day? Don't want to live without you. You are my world.
Christian apologist Gretchen Pasentino on the importance of issues, etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues, etc. The topic? The Crescent and the Cross. Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Time for me to fly. Welcome to sin.
Welcome back. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Gretchen Pasentino about Harold Camping's prediction of the rapture on May 21st, 2011. Gretchen is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. You can find out more about Answers in Action at issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Waiting on the line, Mark, thanks, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Pastor Todd. I was just thinking that, you know, we all kind of want to peer behind the veil and think we stand in God's secret counsel. I don't know. It's a need to puff ourselves up. But, you know, people, I mean, again, when people are suffering, I'm having time of trouble. I kind of want to know why. I want to know what's going on. We want to deny mystery, the real presence. If we can't understand it, we're not going to accept it. You know, we all want to think we stand in God's secret counsel, and we don't. And we have to just walk in faith, you know, dependent upon his word.
Mark, thank you very much. Your thoughts, Gretchen?
Well, I can't agree with you more, Mark. You know, we often think that we want to be with God and we want to be in his kingdom forever. But look at the life he's given us, too. The opportunity to love those in our family, our neighbors and our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at the opportunity we have to help somebody who's in need. I know I was talking to a friend earlier today, and he's going through a lot of struggles and a lot of problems. And I was able to talk with him on the phone and share some of my own experiences and pray with him, too. Together, we went before the throne of God in prayer. The kinds of things that God blesses us to participate in this lifetime are things that we should rejoice in. Yes, the end will come. Yes, there will be an eternity of God's fulfilled kingdom when we will finally reach the potential that God has created us for. But in the meantime, he's given us wonderful ways to serve Christ, to proclaim his gospel. And that's plenty enough for us right now. We'll leave the timing of the end and the reconciliation of all things to him.
So let's talk a bit about the real hope of Christ's return. Harold Camping, you mentioned before, is an annihilationist. He substitutes ceasing to be for the clear teaching of hell as opposed to heaven. What is he robbing those who follow him of? If he says, well, you know, the good news is Christ will take Christians out of the world, and the bad news isn't as bad as it's been made out to be, because everyone else will just cease to exist.
Well, there are actually a few things that he's got wrong. For one thing, he says that only people who understand what he does about how bad churches are actually going to go in the rapture on May 21st, on Saturday. So if you're the member of a denomination, if you're a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or even an independent church, you don't get to go in the rapture. You've got to wait a few months until October for the end of the world. And at that time, God's going to destroy the earth, and all those who are not believers in Christ will simply cease to exist. Those of us who are members of churches and missed the rapture will then get to be to join God's kingdom along with the Christians like Harold Camping, who go in the rapture on May 21st. But what he's doing is, first of all, he is in some ways making it less urgent for us to believe in Jesus Christ. What does it matter? I'll just cease to exist anyway. The idea of conscious, eternal existence apart from God's loving presence is a reality. It's taught in Scripture. Jesus talks more about eternal separation from God than he does about eternal reconciliation with God. We have the opportunity to share that good news with people who don't have it now. Harold Camping robs us of that. He also, in my opinion, denigrates the humanity of those who don't believe. John 3:16 tells us that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. It's not just the Christians that God loves. He loves the non-Christians too. Jesus came and died for all humans, not just for humans who are Christians. We are all created in God's image. We all reflect God's image, even in our brokenness and our sinfulness. And God loves us so much that he gives every single one of us the opportunity to believe, to trust in Christ for salvation, and to be redeemed.
Then I want to pick up something Mark mentioned before, and that is seeking to discover what God has not revealed. The 16th century reformer Martin Luther was rather adamant that where God's word does not speak, the church has no permission to speak, and Christians have no business inquiring where God's word is silent. Your thoughts there?
You know, it's interesting. Several times in Jesus' ministry, he did miracles in front of those who didn't want to believe that he was the Messiah. He would raise someone from the dead, heal someone who was lame, cure someone of leprosy, cast a demon out of a man. And these people who were resisting faith would say to him, "If you're really the Christ, give us a sign." And Jesus would always say, "I'm only going to give you one sign." Of course, he'd already given them many signs by doing all of these healings and raising from the dead and casting out demons. But he says, "The sign I'm going to give you is this. After I'm killed, 3 days later, I will be raised from the dead, and my resurrection will prove that I am the Messiah, the Son of God, and that I have come to bring life, forgiveness of sins, and redemption to all those who believe in me." That is the number one sign. It's not a pack of numbers added and multiplied and divided by Harold Camping. It's not a bizarre, twisted application of Jewish festival dates and lunar calendars like Harold Camping would do. It's not giving the secret to one individual to share it with others outside of the church, the body of Christ. That one sign is Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And because he is raised from the dead, we too know that we will be raised from the dead and we will spend eternity with God. That's the sign we look for, not some date at the end of the world.
Then finally, with only a minute here, Gretchen, if you were invited on Family Radio, Harold Camping's radio network, to appear as a guest with Harold Camping, what would you tell him?
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his salvation. His salvation comes through our believing in him. We don't need to know the date for the rapture. We don't need to know the date for the end of the world. We need to know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what he's done for us. This is everlasting life, that you believe in the one God has sent, and that believing in him, you have eternal life.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, it's always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you, I'm assured we will talk to you sometime in the near future, well after May 21st.
Well, we'll have our Bible study on Saturday, and we'll rejoice that God has given us his word, rightly divided.
Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, there's a resource that I think would probably help in a very basic way, clear up a lot of the distraction that something like a Harold Camping prediction puts in our way. It's called The Lutheran Difference, The End Times. It's a booklet that costs only $8.99. It deals with the end times in particular, the simple biblical teaching about the last days. The Lutheran Difference, The End Times, from Concordia Publishing House. Call and order The Lutheran Difference, The End Times, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jesus says, "No one knows. Only the Father. The Father has in his great wisdom and mercy and patience set a time, and when that time comes, and it will come, he will send Christ to raise the dead and judge all men and inaugurate the kingdom that has no end, a new heaven and a new earth." The church has believed this and confessed it without having to know when it's going to happen for 2,000 years. The church has been satisfied with what God's word does clearly teach about the person and work of Jesus Christ, and not worried about what the Bible does not teach about the time of his return. We have confessed he will come again to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And that is enough. That's what God's word says. And when it happens, it will happen. And when it happens, by faith in that one Jesus Christ, the church will be ready. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.